Let's check now on this Wednesday afternoon, the 19th day of March, the futures markets with Jackie Vakes from Stuart Peterson from right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jackie.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Well, we have all kinds of interesting things happening in the marketplace. I think maybe I'd like to start with wheat and why it was leading futures higher today.
Well, I think the number one thing, there's a couple of things, of course, going on, but the main one was that the Russians went over and took the naval base over in Crimea, and that really makes the market nervous, just the tensions that are going on over there. Of course, along with that, you have to couple the fact that we have wheat that is actually coming out of dormancy. It's in the 70s out in Kansas and coming out in really dry conditions. So, you know, those two things really push this market. When, you know, we saw May, Chicago, and KC both today, first time we've been at these high levels since October of 2013, July new crop, Chicago KC, first time since June of 2013, and July KC 15 actually put in a new contract high at 70.60, so it added 10 cents onto the old contract high. I went to a webinar this morning, Todd, on Ukraine that was put on by DTN, and it was extremely interesting. The fellow who put it on is based out of Kiev, and so he certainly has some pretty firsthand knowledge about what's going on. Said he didn't believe that there was no impact on exports so far due to the crisis. In fact, they shipped 700,000 metric tons of corn last week versus ours 976,000. So they are certainly actively going at it. He said primarily because of the devaluation in the currency. It's down about 20 or 25%. As an example, in 2002 we were up around 120. And when we dropped back to 90, that was a 25%. You know, that was a 42% drop. And we saw what happened to our exports. They're experiencing the same thing. The only thing that's changed, though, he said, was that Ukraine actually is going to export less wheat and more corn. That Kazakhstan is now selling a lot more wheat due to their currency devaluation and the freight rate going over to Russia. But he also explained that Ukraine produces 97% of their wheat acres are winter wheat acres, where if you look at Russia, only 49% are winter wheat acres and 51% are spring wheat. Kazakhstan, 98% spring wheat. So once the spring wheat needs are taken care of, I would imagine they'll come back to Ukraine again. But very, very tough forward marketing year for those guys because they had lousy crops last year in terms of cash returns, so they have less crop. He said we have to really be worried about what they're going to do in terms of planting. They'll probably use cheaper seed, less fertilizer. They just don't have the cash or the purchasing power. So the other big question is, will Crimea get planted?
So, and would be Crimea, would that be, did he say, would that be corn or would that be wheat? And if we're talking about wheat, it would be spring wheat at this time. So
well, it would be corn.
It would be
more
corn
than anything else, yes. And you know, the interesting part is Crimea really only represents about between 10 and 13% of the total exports that go out of the Ukraine.
Right. So since this is such a large exporting nation for corn on the world stage, mm-hmm. it's what, number three or four, if I
number
remember
three.
Correctly.
Yep.
This could have, over time, meaning through the fall, winter months of 2014-15, a pretty substantial impact on what the U.S. marketplace might look like.
Now, there's no question about that, and I believe that that's what we're seeing built into this market right now. You know, the idea that unless tensions really reduce, and I think the bigger picture, when you look at the larger umbrella is, okay, if we've seen Russia make a move into Crimea, will they try and go somewhere else? You know, will they go further into Ukraine? What's going to happen? And so that's driving the market at the moment. We've seen plenty of buyers come in, and we certainly saw a lot today. So there's plenty of opportunity out here. And, you know, it's having somewhat of an impact on corn, too, although corn didn't do much today. Doan's came out at 90.9 million acres for new crop corn. Can you imagine?
Yeah, I saw it.
Wow. I went, whoa.
That's
compared to 92. I had about a week ago, I wrote Dr. Good, and I asked him what kind of impact would $7 to $8 corn have on exports. And he said if you look at 14-15, it would probably be similar to 10-11, where we lost 146 million bushels in exports, or 11-12, where we lost 291 million bushels in exports. We know, you know, 11-12 being the higher price year. So it's rather interesting to see those numbers come out, and now whether or not it's going to be true. On the opposite side, ethanol ground 93.5 million bushels this week. We need to grind 98 just to get to the USDA's 5 billion bushel use. So you put that, and now let's add to that, a private firm, not Doan's, of course, came out and said that they think old crop corn is only worth $4.50 compared to $4.87 and new crop only $4.10 versus $4.88. Enough information there to confuse a person?
Right.
So what it says to me, Todd, is that, like we talk all the time, you have to be prepared for whatever the market's going to hand you. If you're making money at these numbers, you need to get puts in place. You need to do something. And you also need to be prepared to re-own corn if you've sold a lot, because things can change so rapidly in this marketplace. Now, look at beans. You saw the Doan's numbers on beans, too, right?
Mm-hmm.
83.6 million acres. I mean, that's
big, big.
Oh, that's 4.1 million acres more than the USDA. That is gigantic is what it is. And that same private firm said that $9 on new crop is where we should be at versus the 1190s, which is where we are right now. I think, you know, 9 is pretty steep decline, but if we get 83.6 million acres, it most certainly could happen. I think the interesting part about the acreage report that we have at the end of the month is just 8 out of 20 years we are too high on bean acres. Excuse me, 12 out of 20 years we're too high on bean acres, and 12 out of 20 years we are too low on corn acres. So ultimately, I think what that just says is weather drives everything.
Indeed, it does. Hey, I want to take some of these things up one at a time. Can we come back to the Crimea and then old crop corn? In particular, mm-hmm. because there will be many that have a lot of old crop corn in their bins. And I told you, give me just a moment, I told you that I'd talk a little bit about an event I went to yesterday in the Agri Center. I'm going to take a moment here to do that. This was in Bloomington. If you've not been there to be trained, and you can get in to be trained to handle anhydrous ammonia, that's through the Illinois Fertilizer and Chemical Association, or to handle grain in bins that might be in bad shape, it would be worthwhile to give them a call. And you can just call the Fertilizer Association. You're looking for the Illinois Agri Center. The Illinois Corn Growers is right next to it in that building. I went up and watched them do an entrapment yesterday and a rescue. And it was it's time-consuming and eye-opening. I will try to get video of this up onto our website at willag.org. But it took about 40 minutes to just go through the process. It takes about 4 or 5 hours, actually, to do it if somebody's truly trapped in a grain bin. The point is, don't get trapped in the grain bin. Always make sure that you go in with somebody else there. It only takes about 4 or 5 seconds to get caught, about 25 seconds to go completely under. Make sure the augers are off if you go into the bin. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox. Now, let's go back to old crop corn. So the things that are happening in old crop corn right now, we have people that have a whole lot of corn in the bin here. We have the Crimea situation where many are looking at the ports thinking, what if Russia does something more with Ukraine? Will they block the ports that belong to Ukraine? What are the things that could push that marketplace, old crop corn, higher or lower, in your opinion?
Well, I think that, you know, you just hit, of course, on two of them right now when you were just talking about Crimea. I think the other one that you hit on, and we certainly heard a lot of it last night in Effingham, is corn that's not in good condition. You know, the problem that we had an elevator person with us, and the problem that they're experiencing is, you know, they own immense amounts of corn. They had put some corn into bins that were at moistures that were probably higher than they should have been, with the idea they could have blended it with dry corn. They can't take in any more corn, and so because they can't get trains to get rid of what they want. And so I think ultimately we heard nightmare stories about a farmer who put a large amount of corn in at 28%
mm-hmm.
with the idea that he thought that he'd be able to put air on it and get it dried down and everything. So one of the things we heard last night was, if you have any corn that has high moisture, get it in a dryer and get it taken care of. Otherwise, it's just not going to be worth anything. And so I think that's another thing that can drive us to a higher level. I think the other thing would be, of course, if we see very low corn acres come in on this March report, you could see a strong reaction to that. The thing we have to keep in mind, Todd, at all times, is that anytime you drive the price higher, there's always that reverse action that comes in at some point in time. And, you know, right after we finish this report at the end of the month, we head into the next supply-demand report. And so, you know, higher prices normally would lead to somewhat lower demand. Whether that's true or not and whether USDA would make those changes are different. But what we've been telling people is, you know, you can't count on the fact that Russia's going to go and do some more driving around in Ukraine or blocking things. You can't count on the fact that their USDA is going to be able to estimate how much bad crop is out here, because they don't normally do that, and we're not about to tell them in most cases. And so you basically have to make sure that you've got yourself protected.
Thank you so much, Jackie.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Jackie Vakes is with Stuart Peterson. She's right here in Champaign County. Joins us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report.